What does spiritual development's role play in how we show up as entrepreneurs, as leaders, as business owners?
It's the base of who you are. It is the foundation. So if you've got that as your solid ground, everything else blossoms from it.
Welcome, Third Rock listeners, to the Branding Laboratory. I'm your host, Devo, Chief Experience Officer for the Brand Storyteller and the Fusion Creative Brands. And each week, I have the privilege of speaking with extraordinary leaders and entrepreneurs who are reshaping the way industries work. These conversations go way beyond the surface to explore the core philosophies, the lessons, and the challenges that define the brands that we admire today. And one of the greatest rewards of this podcast is the opportunity to share the insights of some of the brightest minds in business, people who are passionate about pushing boundaries and redefining what's possible. And as I always say, the stories we tell are the brands we build. And this show is a testament to the power of that concept. Let's dive in. My guest today, finally, the smoke beats of the drums, Shay Wheat. She solves that problem. This is what she does. She is the CEO of Grace and Ease Productions. I like that. Grace and Ease. That's pretty cool. I want to learn about that. And she is a strategic event producer. And she is the go-to for transformational leaders looking to scale through high-impact live and virtual events. But when I was reading her press kit and looking at her website and stalking her, like I do everyone who comes on the show, I think she has a real gift, which is helping brands, which is why I came up with the theme for the show, build through experience, right? So experiential events that really sort of elevate who you are as an individual and the purpose of what you do, using different types of platforms, like I said, live and virtual. And so I thought today's show, we would figure out, again, the problem we're trying to solve is how do you turn purpose into platforms, right? Mm-hmm. So that people can really show up and build their legacy. So let's find out how you do that. So before we do all that, I want to know kind of like who you are. Before you were an entrepreneur, before you were the go-to, before you were Shay with an A-Y, before you were the CEO, in the process of your becoming, who were you? What were you doing?
I was actually going to school to become a medical doctor.
Jeez.
I know, right? Yeah. Sitting there in organic chemistry going, crap, this is not what I'm supposed to do. This is not how I'm supposed to help people. Now what? Right? And so it was like one of those come to Jesus kind of moments of like, okay, I've been doing nothing but driving towards this goal, and my soul is saying, this is not it. You've got to change. And so I switched my major to my minor, which was psych, graduated college in 4 years. First woman in my family to graduate college.
Hell yeah.
I know, right? And, you know, started to, on this journey. I was in network marketing. I was playing around with those things, learning how to network and connect with people and totally go outside my box, because I'm like an extroverted introvert, or introverted extrovert, something.
You're an ambivert.
There we go. You know, where it's like in the moment I'm extroverted, but I also really, really enjoy my alone time and quiet time and reflective time and all of those pieces. Along my journey, I became a Reiki master, wow, which is an energetic healer. I don't know if you can tell behind me, but I've got a whole bunch of like rocks and crystals. My entire house is full of different rocks and crystals. I live on amethyst, you know, court. So it's just like all very divine. I think part of, you know, it's all the journey, right? I needed to go, this is not it. I need to be on the path. What am I going towards? Bringing in the energetics, and then my logistical brain comes in, the project management brain comes in, and that's where the event space kind of came to play. Mm-hmm. So I was speaking on somebody else's stage. It was like new year, new you, you know, trying to get the network marketing business moving and messing around with the guy who had the mic that was supposed to pass it off to me. And I'm like, hey, dude, don't go spitting on my mic. And he's like, you're funny. Who are you? Turns out he was the head of education for Dr. Oz's nonprofit.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, my God, I just met his sister, Saval Oz, at Maria Shriver's Women's Conference when she was the First Lady of California. And he looked at me and he's like, we're doing a women's conference. You should help us. And I went, okay. So my first gig as an associate producer was in charge of over 70 speakers and 100 volunteers. And that's kind of where I was like, oh, I kind of have a knack for this. Let's see where else this takes us.
And that's how you were titled the go-to for transformational leaders.
Pretty much, yeah. Everybody, I had a completely, I still kind of do have a referral-based business because it's like, oh my God, do you know Shay? You need to, Shay's got you. She's got your back. She will handle all of the details. And I bring in that energetic side, which is the grounding all the crazy, grounding the chaos, grounding the events are their, in my opinion, their own living, breathing thing. And even if you do the same one year after year after year, it's going to be different. Who you are is different. Who the audience is different. And what message needs to come through is going to be different.
You are a bit woo-woo, I suspect, that you have stones and crystals and triangles behind you, I'm suspecting, right? So
yeah.
I am as well. I'm always fascinated by the spirituality elements of running your business and sort of the inner alchemy, if you will, which, by the way, is the name of my retreat, which we are going to talk about.
Okay.
I'm blown away with the synchronicity of events, of people. You just told a story about how you stepped on stage and there were these people that you had multiple connections with, and it ended up sort of like compounding into a whole bunch of other things for you. Without going too far down this rabbit hole, what does spiritual development's role play in how we show up as entrepreneurs, as leaders, as business owners, as people trying to build something that affects other people's lives?
I think it's the base of it. It's the base of who you are. It is the foundation. So if you've got that as your solid ground, everything else blossoms from it. So whatever it is for you, if it is God, if it is universe, if it is whatever, that is the platform that we then get to rise from. And so for me personally, it is the spirituality piece. It's connecting in with the universe. It's pulling in the support of Mother Earth and the beings and support around that I can then ground into, have an anchor. So then I can go up and think outside the box and tap into things that are not in my awareness at the moment. I just heard Dr. Benjamin Hardy on stage yesterday. I don't know if you've read or heard of any of his books, 10X is Greater Than 2X. Mm-hmm. Last year, went through his book with one of my mastermind groups. And it's all about, like, how can we compress a timeline? And something that you think is going to take you 10 years to do, what if we said it was only going to take you 3 or 5? And when you can kind of go outside the linear piece, that's where the spirituality, in my opinion, comes into play.
How does spirituality play into that? Sorry to interrupt you. And I'm thinking of Compound Effect and Atomic Habits, James Clear. I'm thinking of, you set a goal, and instead of trying to set the goal per se, what are all, the goal is great. But again, we talked about at the outset, where are you now? Where do you want to be? How do you close the gap? How do you set those incremental spaces from a 10-year goal down to a 3-year goal using spirituality? Well, how does that play? And I'm not sure if I'm following that.
I feel it's a little bit of putting the intention out there. So this is the 10-year goal. And I want to make it in 5. What if we could? What would need to happen? So Dr. Benjamin Hardy was talking about, he was talking to somebody who's like, oh, I eventually want to own a soccer team, a football league, right? And I don't want to do that in by the time I'm, I don't know, 55. And he was like 25. And he's like, cool, what if you did it by 30? And he's like, well, I can't do that because I have to first get my PhD, and then I've got to own this kind of business, and then I got to do this business and that business. But all of those incremental pieces could actually, I mean, get you there eventually, but are they going to help and support you? What if you didn't have to do those pieces and you could own a football league before because of the networking that you went to, because of the people you ended up meeting, because of the events that you ended up attending, put you in the right places. Like, I was in the right place at the right time, growing myself personally, professionally, to meet somebody to 2 years down the road, make it so I was working with Dr. Oz. The spirituality, I think, is a little bit of like, okay, get out of my brain and get back into my body and get into my heart. If that's really the true mission.
So it's part transformational mindset shifting, using Neville Goddard and those insights and inspirations, and sort of tapping into sort of an inner alchemy guide that you're guided by based upon a belief system that you construct.
Exactly.
Okay. What do you think in terms of this development here? I just sort of like to understand how you view the world with this next question. When you think about, and here's where I'm going with it. And we talked about this in the outset. I used to sort of have a skewed perception of the world, and right, wrong, or indifferent, mostly wrong. I used to sort of think most people are negative, most people are dour, most people are out for themselves, most people are just like they're not trustworthy, etc. And I noticed early in my career that because of that long-held belief that was created by epigenetically my father, let's just throw that out there. I didn't create it myself. I added to it.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that what I was believing, I was getting back.
Yeah.
Because everything's just a reflection, right?
Yep.
Everything's just a reflection. So I can go woo-woo with you here. When you think about people, the world abound.
Mm-hmm.
What's your perspective? Like, are people inherently good? Are there bad people? Are people out for themselves? Are people selfish? Like, what's your view of just the human population in general?
All of the above. The population in general has all of those. The ones that I interact with, again, it's what my reticular activator is looking for, are the ones that are kind, loving, supportive, growing in business. Like, that's what I'm looking and searching for and resonating at that level and that vibration. So I tend to attract more of those people into my space. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have somebody that's like rude and going to cut you off in traffic. Like, those things are still going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because I also believe that, you know, opportunities and things present themselves to support you in your growth.
Mm.
And so if they have to be put along in your path in order to support you, in order to get you to the next step, in order for you to go and look at things that you're maybe not looking at, reflecting back to you of what you need to work on next, those are also showing up.
Mm. What are your core values? What does Shay Wheat, certified event producer, in terms of the people that you, your ideal client, for example, mm-hmm. in terms of your inspirations, do you believe in success? Do you believe in expertise? Do you believe in perseverance? Do you believe in nurturing? Do you believe in being comical and humorous? Do you believe in, like, what are the things that are sort of like benevolence, for example? What are the things that you like latch your soul onto and say, like, when I create a line in the sand, and I look for people that I want to work with, or people that I want to partner with, or maybe romantic relationships or friends or whatever, podcast guests that you show up on, what are the values that I like to align with? Have you ever thought about that exercise?
Artistry and execution.
Okay.
Treating work as a form of creative expression, blending the structure and the soul to craft really experiences that resonate deeply from a business perspective. I would say family and relationship, and really prioritizing those connections and nurturing those bonds. Mm. Adventure and travel. I love exploring the world and embracing new places and experiencing like the excitement of discovery and novelty. Financial independence and abundance. Pleasure and ease. There's a reason I called my company Grace and Ease. It's just like savoring those life luxuries from, you know, massage to gourmet meals and embracing the relaxation and enjoyment of things.
What is Grace and Ease Productions? What problem are you really solving for your clients?
We are people that are supporting, really, the way I like to look at it is like locking arms with people that are doing good work in the world and helping them do more of it.
Okay.
And the way that we do that is by turning events into really powerful, scalable business ecosystems that grow their revenue, deepen their relationships, and really increase client retention.
In terms of events themselves, because this is sort of your je ne sais quoi, what is it about live events or events in general that become the ultimate brand amplifier for you? What, when they're done correctly, what value does that add? So I'm an entrepreneur and I'm just going about my business, doing my thing. And you're saying, bro, we probably should start looking at doing some events. Why? What's the ROI behind doing events for me?
Events are, in my opinion, the fastest way for people to know, like, and trust you. The reason being is we can get into a couple of different states. We can get into an emotional state where they are having highly experiential bond with you. And it's just different that when you're doing it on the phone or you're doing it even virtually. Now, there are ways that we can do it virtually where you can still have that connection. Mm-hmm. But in person, it's dramatically different. Right. And that's why a lot of people are going back into in-person events.
Yeah.
And the ones that are in business, that are doing events, they're the ones that are making multiple six figures and beyond.
Yeah.
So it's not as hard as you might think when it's done right and you have the systems and you have the structure and you have the arc and the flow of the agenda set in place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got clients that have made $882,000 in her first 2-day live event. But I mean, you look at the Tony Robbins and things of the world. It's like, there's a reason they've been doing events for as long as they have. Yeah. It's because they work. They are something that will never die. People are always getting together. Even if you can go and look at it from the music standpoint, mm-hmm. you can buy a CD, you can buy a song, you can buy and listen to it over and over and over again. But why do people go to concerts? Because it's live, it's in person, it's experiential, it's the next level, it's a VIP experience. They get closer to you, they be in community with other people that enjoy the same thing or wanting to learn the same thing.
The LinkedIn Live we just did was literally having this conversation on how being in the physical form and the physical space compounds the impact that you make just because, and I use the biblical reference to sort of stay in the spiritual. I've always had this fondness, and I'm not biblical, but I've always had this fondness for this quote, when two or more are gathered in his name, and sort of like the metaphorical reasoning behind that. Like, it's one of the reasons I do a podcast virtually in this space. I just came off a podcast this morning and she turns her camera off for the podcast and she's like, you need to turn your camera off. And I was like, why, man? I want to see you when I'm talking to you. I don't want to just do an audio. I'm already locked up in a virtual world as it is, seven hours a day, most of the day. So why can't I just like see your beautiful face? Anyway, I digress. If I were to work with you, let's just pretend I'm your avatar. And I'm assuming you have sort of an ideal client, and we're going to talk about that next. If I was your avatar and I was working with you, how do you weave my founder's essence, my voice, my values, my perspectives, my vibe, all of those things into my event strategy so that I know how to show up properly on stage or in person, et cetera? What is it that you do so that you have a clear understanding of me, then you can imbue that into the event that you're producing for me?
So part of our onboarding intake, you know, getting to know each other type of process is asking you. So I work with a lot of people that are wanting to sell from the stage, right? So they're wanting to leverage instead of doing one-on-one sales conversations, they're wanting to do one to many. And so they want to do that through an event. Fantastic. So I'm going to reverse engineer based on that goal. What is it that we're offering? What is the end result that we want? That's the physical thing that we're selling. We're also going to take a look at, so that's the event promise. That's taking a look at what are they going to walk away with if they decide to keep moving forward with you. Then there's the event promise of just the event. What is the attendee going to walk away with? And what is it that you want to walk away with, right? So it's like, I want to do an event that is, you know, going to sell 20 people into my mastermind group. And I want to feel X, Y, and Z doing it. Groovy. In order to do that, we reverse engineer in order to make that happen. So we reverse engineer everything that we're doing. And to make sure that it's actually in your voice and in alignment with you, we actually bring in some AI as well. So through the interview process, we can then, I do this for my masterclass groups that are wanting to learn how to do masterclasses. We'll interview them. We'll put it into our AI system through all of the trainings and all of the creating the run a show, the agenda, all of it. And it'll end up kicking out essentially in your voice, in your essence, the script, the slides, the everything for you then to deliver the masterclass. Now, of course, we need to continue to tweak and adjust it. Like you were saying earlier, it's not just to take it and run with it, but it's gotten pretty good because we've tested it enough times that it's pretty dang close. Then we just need to tweak and adjust a little bit more, but it's more than just starting from scratch.
Interesting. That's the magic of branding. So all these things that you just talked about and being able to do that for a founder or an executive and being able to put that in. For me, that's the magic of branding. When you look at your operations, when you look at your offerings, when you look at the experience that you want people to have, all of that, when that comes together, it just feels like it belongs. And I was having a conversation a couple of days ago with a woman, and she was sort of talking about how you shouldn't. What was the tagline of her opening line? It was a LinkedIn conversation. And she said, everybody talks about branding, but I think that's a waste of time. I think you should build a business plan first and foremost. And I was like, okay, I appreciate your perspective. You do you. But from my point of view, right or wrong, of course I'm right, branding is the foundation that you will build your business plan on first, because your brand is everything you are. It's how people see you. It's how you show up in the world. It's your vision. It's your values. It's your messaging. It's your colors. It's your logos. It's your website. It's literally everything. And once you know what that is, then you build a plan on how to amplify that and market that to the right audience. So when you're putting these events together for people, are you also, so you almost sound like almost like public relations in some way, shape, or form as well. Are you helping with the marketing? Like, are you helping get the people to the event, or are you just sort of, I'm helping you put your event together, now go run with
ish, right? So when we do events, we do more than just the event, right? Because an event, especially an enrollment event, is going to touch all aspects of your business. Marketing needs to be involved, the event itself, and then fulfillment.
Yeah.
How are we then transitioning them from, okay, great, I think I want to go ahead and move forward with you, I'm saying yes, then how do we move forward and keep and retain? So I touch every aspect of the business, the sales, the marketing, the fulfillment, the actual event itself. So what does that look like? We do strategy on the marketing side. You still need to market. You know your audience way better than I do. And we're going to help you create what's known as like a ticket map. What are all the ways that we are going to find your ideal audience and map out how you're going to get in front of them so that they then buy a ticket and show up to your event? You got to do some work. And it's your people, right? They're showing up because they're energetically connected to you and tied to you. And so you still have to infuse that into your marketing and what it is that you're doing to reach out to them.
My audience is mostly entrepreneurs, executives, founders, builders, a lot of people who are doing a lot of really cool things on the planet. And I love to share people like yourself with them so they can sort of learn and hopefully get some business from it. What you're doing isn't cookie cutter for me. It doesn't sound like anything you're doing. It's just sort of, it's not a template or a boilerplate that you're buying. What makes Shay different in the process that you do? So if someone's listening to this show and they're like, man, I've never done a live, I've never posted or done a retreat, I've never done an event, and this is something I've really thought about for a long time, I've actually been looking for somebody to help me with this, talk to that person. Why would they come to you? Why would they want to work with you? And what are they going to get when they work with you?
One, you get a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and
you know,
right, we're doing now. And it's, you know, me figuring out what is it that you're wanting. What is the purpose and intention? What is the outcome? All of these pieces. And if it, where you're at in your business, if you are not ready for the type of event that you're going to do, I'm going to tell you. Because there's, in my brain, there's at least 5 phases of events to scale your business. And there are coaches and strategists out there that'll be like, regardless of where you're at in your business, you should do this as your lead gen, or you should do this as whatever. And they're selling a phase 4 opportunity to somebody in phase 1 when they barely have any clients, right? So I'm going to listen to what it is that you, what you want and where you're at. And if you're not in, if that's not in alignment, then I'm going to tell you what you need to do first before you're ready for me.
Like a good accountability coach almost.
Yeah. But I mean, even if it's not in alignment for us to work together right now, right? So if you're coming to me and you're like, I want to do a 600 person event. I've never done an event before. I don't necessarily have a list. I have a couple of clients and I'm like, cool, awesome. 600's a little aggressive. let's actually.
But can't we use these spiritual envisioning and transformation to get that 600 though?
No.
Okay.
There is a process. You need to start, let's say, with a masterclass.
40. 40.
People to show up to a masterclass. Can you get 40 people to show up to a retreat?
Hmm.
Right? And is your offer a proof of concept? Right. You don't want to necessarily. So like one of my questions to you is you said there's a bunch of speakers and a bunch of breakouts and a bunch of da-da-da-da-da. It's like, cool. What are we doing with this? Why are they coming? What is the purpose and intention of it? Are you selling into a high ticket offer somewhere in there? If you're not, maybe we need to take a look at doing that. Mm-hmm. Because when people come, they want to know what the next step is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give them the next step, we know a percentage of the audience is going to go, and I'm now let down because I don't know what to do. I want to keep working with you, right? Hmm. So we're thinking through the entire client customer journey. So I feel that's something that is separate from us. We don't just plan the event. Hmm. I don't just make something look pretty. If that's what you want, don't come to me.
I appreciate what you said.
Keep looking at the entire business and using it as a part of your business model.
You're taking a holistic approach.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I think there's an opportunity for us to do a collaboration. So let's definitely have a conversation. Let's pretend for a second there's a lineup of events, right? And one of them is Shea Wheat's event. Are there some earmarks of a Shea Wheat event that when people see them, attend them, they're like, yeah, I know what that looks like. I know what that feels like. Like, what do you hope people feel, taste? What's like the takeaway from your events? Is there a consistent earmark around all the things that you put together?
Mm-hmm. It feels like home.
Hmm.
This is my community.
Hmm.
This is where I'm supposed to be.
Hmm.
Finally, I found them.
So feels like home. What are some of the takeaways, though? Like, I'm trying to get a sense for the typical type of events that you are producing. Is there an avatar that you have? What's the typical CEO look like? What do they do? What's the typical budgets they're looking like? Are these international events or are you just all over the place?
I do have clients all over the world. Absolutely. So I've got clients that if we're looking at the bullseye, right? It is somebody who is looking to do an enrollment event. They're looking to leverage what they're currently doing, utilizing event to sell from the stage. Instead of one-on-one sales combos, they're doing one-to-many, utilizing the event to do that, right? So that means they have some team. They've got team that is like an ops manager, an EA, that is helping them run the business. They might have a couple more people on their team, depending on how long they've been doing this. And they're wanting to, like I said, leverage. So then they're going to come to us and go, this is what we want to do, but my team internally cannot handle it or should not handle it.
Mm.
Right. They maybe have already tried doing it on their own, but it flopped because customer service doesn't know how to run an event. Your ops manager will have an idea, but that's not what they do. Plus they're already doing their other job with you. Right. So that's why they bring us in to support them.
What I'm hearing you say is you don't just plan events. You're more almost creating branded experiences that are anchoring the founder's authority, amplification of it, the vision of it, and you're catalyzing this connection for people, and that's what's making it feel like home in your words. Is that kind of fair?
Yeah, it's like the little pink spoon when you go to Baskin Robbins.
I really appreciate you coming on the show and getting to know you a little bit. It sounds like you have a really cool business going. I mean, is business going well? Like you're doing well. You like what you're doing. You're happy.
Absolutely. I love my clients because they stay with me for years because they become part of family, right? Because
I do
intimately get to know what's happening in their business. And then we get to strategize on what do we need to create and close the gaps on certain things too. Because I'm able to go, oh, this is working really well over here for this client. You need to take a look at how we can adjust it and match for you because I know what they want and their goals on both sides.
Mm. When I look at things, I don't really like the whole idea of just doing one-offs. I sort of feel like everything that I do should have a strategy behind it, a purpose behind it, and weaved in so that there's connectivity with everything I do. So my social is very strategic with the courses that I offer. My courses are very strategic with the keynotes that I'm trying to deliver. That all of that is very, very connected with the type of coaching that I do. But I can see some real value for this. And I'm turning this podcast into the Shay and Devo show because I really see a lot of synergies for what I'm actually trying to build. I just haven't been able to find someone to do this for me yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually in the process right now of taking offers or whatever you want to call them from PR experts, their speaking experts, to sort of get me on stages and stuff like that. Because one of the things I really enjoy doing is speaking in front of an audience. Obviously, I'm on a podcast. I just love talking and helping. And one of the things that I want to start doing is embedding into a strategy all these types of things that I can also be showing up offline in virtual events and webinars, and on living public stages, more retreats, etc. So is this something that you help somebody do? So you work with a founder and be like, take a look at everything that we're doing and say, all right, if this is how you want to show up, let's put together a strategy for you.
Yep, exactly. I do consulting on looking at the overall business plan and, again, reverse engineering based on the offers.
Got it.
And then how do you lead into those offers?
Got it.
Absolutely. And then you were saying, like, if someone's going, oh, maybe I don't want to do a sales event, but I just want to bring my mastermind group together in person. And we also support there, you know, so as little as needing to find a venue, negotiate the contract, which you should have somebody always look at your contracts for venues. I just did one in Mexico. Their team started to look at it and start doing some research. And I was like, okay, well, let me just see what I can do. Had my team go out and do it and ended up saving them $58,000 at the same freaking hotel.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. Because
all right, well,
what we do.
Let's stay connected. So if people want to connect with you, what's the best way to find you? Just before I forget asking you that.
We're on all the social medias, either under Shay Wheat or Grace and Ease Productions. And then Grace and Ease Productions is the website as well. We've got our own YouTube and podcast, Creating Powerful Impact. You can connect with us there. And then I have a gift for your audience, too, if they're ready for it.
So, Shay, again, thank you for bringing your brilliance to the Branding Laboratory. I really appreciate you taking the time to show up and chat with us and share all these things with us.
Absolutely. I'd love to give your audience a gift, too, if somebody is interested in, you know, going, I'm thinking about doing an event, but where do I start? If you go to eventfreegift.com, that is the initial event planning playbook. It gives you some initial planning docs, teams, roles, and responsibilities. It gives you a team matrix, like who do you need if you're going to do a 50-person event or over 50-person event. And it also gives you a profitable event calculator in there for you to do things by the numbers. We always look at the numbers. We look at the budgets. We look at all the things. Does it make sense? So eventfreegift.com. Check that out.
Thank you for that plug. When it shows you who you need for an event, isn't that you? Isn't that sort of like the whole point of it?
Ish. Like, so for example, the client that wants us just to do the venue negotiations and contracts for their current clients, they do 4 times a year meet in person. They just need us to find the hotels and to set up the food and beverage and all of that, but not be on site, because the on site piece is just them talking. So, you know, it's like they have a screen and projector. They don't need an AV team otherwise. It's just them talking with a group of 20 some odd people.
Do they need speakers?
And one other person on their team can handle that.
Do they need charismatic brand speakers?
Sometimes at fulfillment events, if they are looking for like a sponsorship opportunity, yeah, absolutely.
I know somebody.
Oh, okay.
I know somebody.
I wonder who that could be.
If you're listening to the show, and I hope you are, and you're looking to build an experience-driven brand, Shay Wheat is the person to turn to and start asking, what problem do you solve so well that it would be a disservice not to share it with the world? And you're going to help them figure that out.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Shay, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, another great show on the Branding Laboratory. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Shay, for showing up. And I love her story. I love her brand. I love that she has taken something that she felt called to do and is really blowing that up. So do you have a story? Do you have something that the world needs and you need some help finding out about it? My shameless plug is to you. Let's have a conversation, man. Send me a DM. Let's get on the calendar and talk through what it is you're trying to do. And if you want to be a guest on the show, hit me up as well. Love to have you as a guest. If you have something that you're doing that the world needs to see and receive, you have a moral obligation to share that. And we should do that on the show together. So anyhow, I know you have choices when it comes to podcast listening. Thank you for being here at the Branding Laboratory. I'm Devo, and I will see you at the next show. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon.